of the evening with our mayoral candidate. We have on the stage with us Ellen Harrison, the incumbent mayor for the City of Salmon Arms, Luke Norrie, and Nancy Cooper. We are going to start off with them offering 5 minutes of opening remarks. We will raise the yellow card at 4 minutes and 30 seconds, the red card at 4 minutes and 50 seconds, and you will be cut off at 5 minutes. And we will start with Nancy Cooper.
And it's on. So thank you all for coming, and thank you to the Chamber for organizing this. It's a really great job, so thank you. Really appreciate it. So, and all of you attending, it's so great to see Salmon Arms people. We've been kind of isolated a bit with COVID, and so to come here and see so many Salmon Arms people, I really am enjoying it, actually. Pardon me? So my speech is more about things that I see happening and things that may need to be addressed rather than just about sort of who I am. I have been here for 50 years. I raised my family here and worked here all of this time. So I know a lot of you, but a lot of you maybe don't know me either. So that's kind of all I would say about me, and I want to get back down to the actual the issues that I see. So, you know, I've been kind of going door to door talking to people and asking them, well, what do you want to see? What do you want to see? What would you like to see done? So one of the big issues, and I know we've talked about this for years, but with the sewage treatment plant. It's like, we're tired of this. We're tired of the smell. What can you do about it? So I promised them that I will look into it. I will see what can be done, what has been done, because it could be that they have been looking into it, and see how we can actually move that forward. I believe this sewage treatment plant is supposed to be good up to 30,000, but the smell is really getting people upset. So I promise them I'll look into it. And we do have a new active transportation plan. And I really have read through it, and I actually really enjoyed reading through it. We all need to sort of start looking at what we can do. And one of the things that I've seen in Burn, they actually started an e-scooter and e-bike program, and it's actually been very successful. So I think we need to look at something like that. We also need to start using our buses better. And as your mayor, I will make sure that I use the bus as often as I can. But we also have to make sure that there is, that it actually works for the people. So we'll be looking at it, reassessing it, and moving forward with that. So with the COVID pandemic mostly behind us, it's time for us to look forward to the things that we need the most. We need to look at infrastructure and services, things like our amazing hospital, and make sure that they are keeping up with our population growth. The decisions that we make today have to be the right ones. They have to be research-based, ensuring that we move forward with the right projects in the right places and at the right time. Safety is an important part of our infrastructure, sidewalks, bike lanes, and all those kind of things. And when I see that in Canoe, we've kind of forgotten them. There are children walking on the road where there are no sidewalks. We are building big sidewalks somewhere else and even doubling up with sidewalks along the in front of the school district office. And I just think, let's look at it. Let's see what is actually going on. Let's ask staff to go out and actually look and see where we really need to work. And so we want to have equality in smaller areas, just like we have things up here. Sidewalks for children are very important. I also heard from talking to people that they feel there's been a lack of communication. And so we're going to try and do that better. And we'll try and be with in the newspaper, on the radio, on social media, whatever we can do to actually get the information out there to people, because that is one of the things that they say is really lacking. So as your mayor, those are some of the things that I will work on, but also I will listen. I have talked with many of you over the years many times, and I do listen, and I will bring your concerns to council. So on October 15th, think about me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now have Alan Harrison.
Good evening, Madam Chair, fellow candidates, and residents of Seminar. It has been an honor to be your mayor for the past 4 years, and this council has accomplished a lot during challenging times. 4 years ago, not a stone had been turned on the Trans-Canada Highway West project. The project was stalled. We went to work. We met with Minister Trevina. We met with Modi's staff. We worked with our MLA. We were relentless. We knew we had the community's backing. The old Salmon River Bridge was scary to drive across. And the need to upgrade to four lanes was becoming a must due to increased volume. Now, this $180 million project, the biggest project ever in the city of Salmon Arm, is nearing completion. Come spring, you will glide across a wide four-lane highway and safely pass over the Salmon River on a straight, four-lane, smoothly paved bridge. 4 years ago, on this stage, I spoke to you about Rapitac. We were concerned that the province was threatening to move our base. When elected as mayor, this file was in the center of my desk. With council support, Councillor Elias and I took it on. We met with the provincial ministry and with BC Wildfire. We rationalized the importance of a first attack base in the Shuswap. We stressed we're surrounded by heavily forest crowned land and are in a highly volatile lightning zone. Now, Rapitac is solidly in place at our airport. It is used more than ever as both a training base and a first-time attack base. The best thing is, we are safer. Over the past 3 years, Rapitac crews have extinguished numerous fires in our region, one right on the side of Mount Ida. And a bonus, in the last year, our airport reported over 500,000 in fuel sales, much of which was from Rapitac operations. 4 years ago, we asked you to borrow funds to help build the Ross Street Underpass. When we went to tender, costs and labor had increased. The estimated cost had risen $3 million. Council had two options. One, abandon the project. However, we knew if we quit, costs would only go up, and it would likely never be built. The second choice was go looking for other sources. We had 60 days. We engaged our MLA, Greg Kylo. He was a huge help. We contacted Minister Fleming twice. The province agreed to win $1 million. With help from our CP contact, we went up the ladder to CP head office in Calgary. We knew this project was important to CP. They came through with $2 million additional dollars. Then we went back to our own reserve budget and pulled together the rest. And now, come April, you will walk, cycle, and drive underneath the track. No more waiting for trains. No more delay for emergency vehicles. This project will change our downtown. It's going to add a whole new vibrancy to downtown Salmon Arm. 4 years ago, I promised to ban the use of single-use plastic shopping bags. It seems like a small thing. With the support of council and the cooperation of retailers and the community, we did it. One of the first municipalities in the province to do so. 2 million less bags in the dump. Over the past 4 years, this council has been diligently working on housing. In partnership with BC Housing, CMHA, and private contractors, over 100 subsidized and supported housing units have been built. And in addition, the city received well over 100 zoning requests for legalized secondary suites. This council passed every single one. There will be no surprise to residents, building statistics in our city are at a record pace, well over $50 million in value each of the last 4 years. Leadership is about bringing people together. It's about working with people who have differing ideas and a variety of expertise and having them pull the same way. With a strong council team and a talented city staff, we have done just that. For strong leadership, continuing to move Salmon Arm forward, I ask for your support on October 16th.
Thank you very much. And we have Luke Norris.
Start that timer. Hi, everybody. My name is Luke Norris. I am the newcomer. I'm sharing the stage with these two wonderful people who have already been in the middle of the city administration and spoken for you and worked for you. And there is a lot of stuff that has happened in the city, and a lot of things that I think that the council and the mayor have done over the past year. I'm a father. I have three kids. I have a wonderful wife who's a teacher here in Salmon Arm. I was born in Summerland. I lived in Ashcroft. We moved to Alberta with the family. And when we got married, we had visited here so many years in a row that we decided to finally move here. And we've been here for 2.5 years. So I am absolutely a newcomer. The place that we call home now is somewhere where I don't think we're ever going to leave. The community, the feeling, the vibrancy, the energy in this community, the water that we share, the mountains, the hills, the free entertainment that we have in front of us is something that I think I'm going to cherish forever. I am very engaged with the community right now. And what I have, even just sitting in the front here, what I noticed was a sharp division between people. And it goes far beyond just the people that were on stage. And there is that division that is kind of everywhere. It permeates in the feelings that we have in the grocery stores, in our neighbors, in our workplaces. We all feel it. And we need to find someone who's going to really work day in and day out to sort of bridge the gap, be the mediator between the two sides. Because if you think about it, there's 90% of us that are really have the humility and the ability to move past what has happened in the last few years. I don't want to spend a lot of time on COVID because I look at it as a blessing in disguise. Things happen. It has caused us to have conversations we never thought we would. So that, in a sense, there were certain things that every government did. There are certain things that every representative did that we might not agree with, that some people say, yes, they did a good job, and other people say, you did a terrible job. You're never going to please anyone. The one thing that sticks out to me, and this is very important, is the public engagement with huge decisions that are made. I heard a story about when the Walmart was going in, and the mayor at that time, I believe, it took 4 days through public hearings to decide how the Walmart was going to be built. That's just hearsay. This is what I heard. And I think when it came to certain COVID measures, I really believe that the fact that council doors were closed and there was no public debate on that was just a miscarriage, and I think that's something we should really look back on and not let that happen again, because when the public decides, that's more important than letting a few people decide for us. So I'm not, there's two sides to this debate. I'm not going to say which is right and which is wrong. What I think is ultimately is the role of government is to allow the people to have a voice and to be heard. So that is something that I think is very important to me. A couple of things on my platform include the idea of civic duty and community engagement. So I'm going to be honest with you. I was one of those guys at Blackburn Park. I've spoken to people. I've been a firsthand witness to the generosity of a lot of people that came out there. We had hosted barbecues. We fed whoever wanted to for free. There was homeless. There's a couple of homeless ladies that helped us bring our barbecues, bring our food. It was a sense of trying to get back to this feeling of community after 2 years of being sort of hidden away and forced into this area where we couldn't see each other. And my firsthand account was that there was nothing bad about this, except for the fact that we, for sure, permission wasn't asked, because the assumption was that permission was not going to be given, that we were going to ask council and be denied because of the views. But the views were just simply, let's feed each other, let's have an open discussion, let's talk about things that need to be discussed. And that's one important thing that I think needs to happen is going forward. So that civic duty, that community engagement, getting people involved, having a town hall on, already? having town halls once a month, city council and the council chambers are very important to to sign the documents to make those things happen. But what we need to do is have engagement with the public, with the citizens of this town, and let them throw eggs at whoever is up here or cheer, you're doing a good job. We need town halls to come back, and I'll get into the rest of my thing in the last 5 minutes. I'll stop there. So if you have a chance, vote for Luke Norrie.
Thank you very much. It is now time for the question and answer period. Each candidate will be provided 2 minutes to answer the questions given. We will officially be keeping track of time and will indicate time remaining by raising a yellow card at the 1 minute mark and a red card at the 1 minute 50 second mark. I will cut you off at the 2 minute mark. Again, we ask that all candidates assist us by being respectful of their time allotment. Mayoral candidates will be asked a total of 3 questions each for a total of 9 questions. The question order has been randomly drawn in advance of tonight's forum. There will be 1 question that will be asked specifically of that candidate. The other 3 questions will have their names drawn tonight by myself. So, Nancy Cooper, what specifically prompted you to run for mayor against the incumbent? What would you improve upon?
Thank you for the question, and thank you all for this. I decided to run because I was seeing that there was some lack. People were saying, we don't know what's going on. We don't hear from the mayor. We don't hear what projects are happening. And that is something I was actually very good at as mayor. I was on the radio. I wrote articles. I met with people. And so I worked really hard on that part of it. And also letting them know when things were going to happen, too. When we opened that, Trans-Canada Highway, when all of the people were here to open that, I was out there with them. I was the mayor at that time, and we all opened it together. All that started with Trans-Canada Highway, the new bridge and everything. We worked really, really hard on it, and we did it together. And everybody knew what was going on. And so I tried to be very good at communicating and very good at letting people know what's going on. And so that was what prompted me. So what I would improve on is communication. Any way that I can, whether it's social media, whether it's radio, Patrick would let me, or the paper, or writing articles, whatever it is, that's what I do. I do communication well, and as well as getting projects started, like the Trans-Canada Highway project, like the underpass project. But we did that by working together, and I have to thank city staff, too, because they worked extremely hard. And I think about Carl Bannister, the amount of time that he actually put in. So I really appreciate the city staff, but my good thing is that I can communicate with people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Alan Harrison, what are you most proud of in your term as mayor, and what is one thing you would have done differently?
Thank you. I think the thing that I'm most proud of is we have developed a culture of shared leadership. The mayor is one person. Councillors are incredibly capable. They each have their areas of expertise, and they've stepped up. For instance, we just came back from the Union of BC Municipalities Annual General Meeting. Each councillor that went there led one of those meetings to those ministers. They researched it. They made sure they knew what we were going to say. They brought the team together. Because 7 of us is far better than 1. One thing that you would have done differently. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure. I don't know if there's anything that I would have done completely different from what we did. We had to make some very difficult decisions. And we did them nimbly. We did them thoughtfully, we did them carefully, and with process. Not everybody agreed with those decisions. They were difficult, but I believe they were the right ones.
Thank you very much. And Luke Norrie, to guide this town, what experience do you have, and what successes do you have leading groups like this?
In my experience, I'm 41 now. I have worked and led many construction teams. My most successful venture was actually a restaurant, 40 plus employees, about $2.5 million in sales annually. Started from scratch with an empty building and basically a vision. And the vision came to fruition. I was able to honestly build the rapport with every employee that I have, and I think they would attest to my character and my determination and my work ethic, which was all hours of the day and night. And I brought that restaurant to be extremely profitable by looking at every single thing in the efficiencies of every little process that we did. So I would bring the same kind of aspect with that to City Hall and to Council. There are a lot of things in this. It's obviously a far larger budget, but taking the exact same approach that I would to the restaurant and to the other restaurants that I've owned, I have online businesses as well, and taking the same approach where it's really important to have that fiscal responsibility, but look for the efficiencies, especially in the development process where everything in our housing, to streamline these things and find those ways to make it easier to get our housing built, the multifamily for in the short term, to basically make it easier for our community to have the houses they need to have. So I would utilize the experience that I have and leading groups of people, leading anywhere from construction to the restaurants to the Chamber of Commerce. I was also a member of for several years. So I've also volunteered in numerous different aspects. I was a volunteer at the Olympics in Vancouver, actually, for 10 days, where I became one of the leaders because the leaders that were paid sort of disappeared, and that was one of my big things that led me to this, and here we are. So thank you.
Thank you very much. So now I will draw names of the orders that we'll go in. So the first question we will ask to Ms. Norrie. The shoe swap is more and more frequently in a state of drought. What will you do as mayor to ensure that there is enough water to support the growth in population in the city of Seminar?
That's a huge question to ask. I'm going to direct right to one of the council meetings, I think it was in August, where we started talking about the water scarcity problem and what we're going to do with mitigating that. And one of the solutions, I think the only solution addressed was brought to council, and it was, do we do 2 days of watering or 3 days? So the idea that is kind of the only solution that was really given was to our usage on our lawns, to me was this idea that if there were other voices and other ideas, I think we'd find some other solution. My belief in this might be far-fetched, but we got to look at what we're using our water for. And I think we have to realize that if we're using it for grass, which is the most un-environmentally friendly thing that we have, in our yard, we have to start rethinking how we're going to actually landscape what we have. So we're using way, way, way too much water to water our lawns. That ties directly right into the urban farming plan, which should be number one on the long-term outlook. It should be a short-term thing for the city of Salmon Arm. You're going to use a lot less water if you're using it, if you use it properly to water your gardens than you are to water your lawns, and you're going to get food at the same time. So we shouldn't have this single approach of we got to restrict water. We have to start seeing where we're wasting water and how do we actually change our own behavior as opposed to just saying we're going to cut off the water, we'll only get 2 days, because eventually, as the community grows, we're going to see, well, you can only water for 1 day a week or a half a day a week. And at that point, there's no grass left. The sod's going to die. We've got to start planting things that are made to grow here in the minimal amount of water required from. And obviously, the rain is less and less. So that's one of the big things I think is important, is think differently and utilize the expertise and the brilliance of the community, because you guys are what's actually going to bring the answers.
Thank you. The second question will be asked to Alan Harrison. What will you do to try and decrease the amount of gases created by city residents traveling within our community as single occupants in their vehicles?
Thank you. When it comes to GHG emissions, there's kind of two things. There's the corporate emissions, which the city really controls, and there's the community emissions, which we set example for and we encourage. I think the best way, we have to make it easier for people to get to where they need to go without going in their car. And the Active Transportation Master Plan is coming to council this coming Monday, and we've been working on it. Councillor Lavery and myself chaired that committee. 18 residents
and we had two inputs from the public. It's a really solid plan. We have to make it easier for residents. You can't just say, hey, you can't drive in your car on your own. That won't work. We have to supply an alternative. And a great example alternative when we bought street-side composting. At first, people were like, I don't know about this. Now, is there any house that doesn't put a green bin out? That's what we have to do. We have to make it easier for residents.
Thank you. And the last question will be asked to Nancy Cooper. Currently, there is no secondary exit for canoe residents west and north of 70th Avenue Northeast. What would you propose to ensure access to this area in the event that 70th Avenue is blocked?
I've been out in canoe, and I saw that. And I drove around there, and I talked to the people there. And they're all really concerned. There is a new road that is going in because of a new development. But we actually have to do more than that, and we have to look for other ways to get out of there. We got to go out, and we have to look at it. We have to look at it all together, and we have to talk to the residents, because that is a real danger. If there is a fire, and there's only one way in and one way out, it's just not acceptable. Like, what's going to happen? What if they can't get out? So this is a big issue, and we do need to talk about it, and we need to go out there and look at it and engage the residents. Because the people that live there, they know best. They know, well, we should go this way, or we should go that way. We need to talk to them and get their input on this, because it is a very, like you say, it's very dangerous, and it's pretty scary. And also, there's lots of places out there in canoe that don't have proper sidewalks. We got kids walking on the road. So there's a lot of these things that really need to be looked at, and we need to go out and engage the residents out there, ask them what they think, what they want to see, what they feel is best. Because that's the best way to do it. We're not going to stand back here and make the decision, oh, we've got to go over here, we've got to go over there. We've got to ask the people. We've got to ask the people. And that's what I'd be doing. I'd be asking the people. Thank you.
So I put the names back in the bag. And for the last round of questions, we will start with Luke Norrie again. What are some changes you would propose for the growing vulnerable community?
That's a great question to ask me. I've taken a very strong opinion, and I wanted to address this, I think, immediately, because this is something that has to happen if it's not already happening in council. First of all, obviously, the Salvation Army, there's no place for them to sleep. It gets cold at night. So if there's not a plan in place, or the city isn't at least addressing this and working with the agencies to find a temporary solution over this winter until we can address this properly, that needs to happen right away. I'm going to be honest, I picked up a hitchhiker for the first time in 22 years the other night. It was about 2 weeks ago, and she looked like she needed a ride. And I gave her a ride to Vernon, and she was homeless. She was seeing what it was like in Salmon Arm because she was from Kelowna. She had been in Kamloops. And throughout the conversation, one thing she explained to me was the number one thing, and this is where you have to start really, instead of standing up here and assuming that we know what we're going to talk about, we have to go to the horse's mouth, and we have to ask these people. She said the number one thing that would make the biggest impact on our lives are showers and laundry. So the ability to clean ourselves, and this is other things that she has talked about. So to clean yourself and to clean your clothes, to have the dignity to get up, to even make the attempt to feel like you're worth something in the day. So this is the number one thing and it has to be a collaboration between the municipalities across the entire interior region and hopefully the rest of BC. If any city comes up with a solution for the homeless population, word is going to get out and everyone's going to go to that city. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's so hard to solve this. So I think there needs to be collaboration amongst every single municipality. And with those numbers, we can address the provincial government and say, we have a solution. We just need your funding, and we're going to do it together. So that's one thing I think needs to happen is collaboration.
Thank you. And the next question will be asked to Alan Harrison. If there is another wave of COVID this winter that results in the province bringing back restrictions to stop the spread, will you support the institution of public health guidelines in Salmon Arm?
Yes, I would. I'll just say that we have been under the umbrella of Dr. Bonnie Henry and BC Disease Control Branch from the start. We are not the experts. We fell underneath that, and we follow the science, and we would do it again if we need to.
Thank you. And the last question of the evening will be asked to Nancy Cooper. Parking in the old downtown core is seriously lacking. Any ideas to create more, or what do you see as a vision for the downtown core?
That's a tough question. I'm certain that the underpass is going to help. There is more parking on the other side, but we really have to look at the parking on this side as well. And maybe we have a walkable downtown, more of a walkable downtown, and maybe we have the we put in, you know, e-bikes and e-scooters. Vernon has done that, and it's worked really, really well. But we actually are going to be building a parkade, I understand. And so that is good. It's good to have a parkade. You can park there and then walk. But, yes, that's a tough question. The old downtown core is lacking in parking. And I know one of the things I'd actually like to see stay in is that Lakeshore Drive where they've done the angle parking for the because they're working on the underpass. You actually park more cars that way. So it's a very interesting situation, but I think we do need a parkade, and we do to also change our ideas about what we need. We can also be using the bus. We can use scooters. We can use, if we haven't, we need to institute that part. But for the bus, too, I will lead. I will start using the bus every chance I get, and I think we can do things to encourage other people to use the bus so that we stay out of the, you know, driving downtown. So thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for the responses this evening. A reminder that all council and mayoral candidates will receive a copy of all questions asked this evening, and we encourage you to post your responses on your website and social media. We are now going to give the candidates 5 minutes for their closing statements. Again, the yellow card at 4:30 and the red card at 4:50, and we will start with Nancy Cooper.
Thank you. You know, and thank you for all of your questions. All of these were really good questions. You've been presented not just by council, by us, but also by council, a lot of ideas, and hopefully the answers in here are some of the things that you'll consider when you make your choice on October 15th. You know, housing affordability, rental ability, homelessness have all been featured this evening, all of which are important for the success and long-term vision of Salmon Arms. I shared with you some of the ideas I have for addressing issues. We cannot continue to just talk about them without actually doing something. So as mayor, I'm really ready to work with council to achieve some solutions. Increasing rental inventory will assist young and families, seniors, even those who come for employment. We can work with the agencies and the homeless population in ways that will actually help them. We have to engage them, like you were saying. We have to engage the homeless people and see what they want and learn what they want and work that way. We also know that we have to engage all of the agencies that help them. Some of them have mental illness. Some of them have addiction problems. Some of them just can't find a place to live. And so all of those things are things that we need to address. I care deeply about the environment. I'm a horseback rider, which is sometimes not so good. But honestly, we have to look at our environment. We have to see how we can stop some of the things that are happening. And that's why I keep going back to, like, e-scooters and e-bikes and things like that, because other communities have found this to be very helpful. During the summer, during the winter, it's a different thing. So, of course, right? But they have really found that they have reduced emissions by using these two things, just two things. And so that's some of the things I'd like to see. And as I said, things about some of the projects that we're looking at, some of them, I honestly don't know what the process was behind them. Why are they doing this here? Why are they, you know, planning it now when it might be way in the future? And so we have to communicate with people, and we have to do the projects that we need now. We have to prioritize, and if we don't need it today or tomorrow or even next year and 5 years down the road, let's concentrate on what we need now. I've heard some things about, you know, roundabouts, and they're really good, but some of them are not going to happen for many years, and so we're spending $200,000 on design for three roundabouts, and some of them are not going to be used. So let's stop and think about that. Also, let's think, you know, things are going to change. As soon as the Trans-Canada Highway goes through, there a lot of people may start have some different routes that they take. So when it comes to roundabouts, let's just stop. That's only one thing, but let's just stop and think about it, and let's consider what do we need now and spend the money where we need it now. We can plan for the future. That's really good. So, okay, in the future we might do this. But we sometimes things change, and then you say, oh, okay, well, now we have to change what we were going to do. So let's just stop and think and consider, and let's engage the public. I know we got a huge grant what's called a COVID restart grant. So what did we do with it? Did we talk to the public? I didn't hear anything, but maybe I missed it all. But they came up with a long list of priorities, and you know, some are, maybe that's all okay. Maybe that's what the public wanted. But I didn't see where we were engaged. That was a lot of money. And I have to go back again to some areas of town that are not being treated quite equally, because I see places in Canoe that need sidewalks, and here we are, we're building a new sidewalk, a second big, beautiful sidewalk right in front of the school district office. I just like, okay, what about the kids on the street? Let's think about them. So those are the things that I'm going to be looking at and prioritizing and looking into it, and also talking to residents. That's how I found out about some of the sidewalks that weren't in, kids were walking on the street instead of sidewalks where there was no sidewalks in Canoe. So that's the kind of thing. I'm going to engage everybody and prioritize. If we're not going to have something for a very long time or need something for a very long time, I'm not going to spend money on it. We can start looking towards it, but maybe it'll change. You never know as the way things actually develop. So speak of me on October 15th and vote Cooper for council for mayor.
Thank you. Alan Harrison.
Salmon Arm is open for business. The rebranding of our city has caught a whole new awareness, both provincially and beyond. This rebranding, growing a culture of diversity, creativity, and innovation, is powered by our own economic development arm of the city. Collaboration between groups, agencies, government, and business is the key. And no one in the province does it better. Our target will be the attraction of young families. All of our decisions, whether about housing, policing, recreation, or childcare, need to keep this demographic in mind. So what does a young couple living in a metropolitan area seeking a new quality of life, what are they looking for? A number of things that I'll highlight too. Number one is a safe place to live, to raise their families. And that's why we are continuing to add to our enforcement agencies as we grow. The second very important one is outdoor opportunities. Build it and they will come. Visit the South Canoe Trail Hub, where continual trail improvement has happened, full of young people on bikes. Walk the Foreshore Trail, where we added a significant section last year. Everything from buggies to scooters. We spent time, my wife and I, at Canoe Beach with our granddaughter this summer. They loved it. Lots of kids to play with there on the newly added Gorman-sponsored playground. Large hills, where many, many kids go whipping by me on those amazing trails. And with light, they can see at night. And finally, the soccer and baseball happening in our field. With greatly improved facilities, they are crowded with families. So what are my priority projects for the next 4 years? Well, they are the projects that we have heard from you. These projects are on the top tier of our newly minted strategic plan. The rebuilding of Lakeshore Road, 20th town, complete with a parallel multi-use path. Canoe Beach, this is our beach. This is the one that families use. We need to fund it. Fire smarting. As the climate heats up, smoke flows into the city, we get anxious and unsettled. We need to prepare before fire comes. And finally, sidewalks, trails, and bike paths. The people of Salmon Arm love to travel in these ways. We have a plan. We need to fund it. So tonight, I've spoken with you about projects and about economics. However, I think the most important thing to consider in any election is leadership. You, the voters, are going to elect a group of individuals to our council. The job of the mayor is to pull those individuals together, to help build a culture of respect, to encourage discussion and debate of ideas and opinions, to build a team that, regardless of the individual philosophy, will pull Salmon Arm forward. And perhaps the most challenging part of this, and I take my hat off to those who are on council presently, when the voting is complete and the decision has been made, we move together forward. A second equally important job for the mayor and council is building relationships. Over the past 4 years, we have worked hard at this. Relationships with our Indigenous neighbors, relationships with groups and agencies, relationships with cities and towns all the way up and down the valley, and relationships with provincial ministries and staff. Cities our size need to collaborate to help solve the many complex problems we face. Our taxpayers, you, cannot shoulder those responsibilities on your own. Over this term, we have been incredibly successful at pulling in outside dollars to help with these projects. Relationships pay back. Despite challenges thrown at us over the past 4 years, Salmon Arm has moved ahead. Your council has acted in an informed, a measured, and a thoughtful way. For strong leadership, continuing to lead Salmon Arm forward, on October 15th, Lord Alan Harrison, the mayor.
Thank you very much. And Bruce Norris.
He hit his 5 minutes bang on. That was good. Thanks, Alan and Nancy. My vision for the city includes a lot of things that were said here tonight. And the understanding that I have is that the city administration itself is an integral part to maintaining the continuity within the city. And the engineering department to ensure that the sidewalks are taken care of. There's already projects in place, and these things are going to continue regardless of what council is voted in and which mayor is voted in. I think there is a very important thing that I really want to address, and those are a few of the things are the housing security, the food security, the education security, our health security. So all these things are immediate things that are starting to show signs of decay and signs of lifelessness. We're hearing reports all over Interior BC and including here of ambulance wait, ambulances not even being able to reach people, hospital wait, doctors, we can't find doctors. Our teachers are overwhelmed and understaffed and underappreciated. But there's not enough police services. So these things are all immediate issues to me. And I understand everything on here, and I really agree that the infrastructure, the wastewater, the fire smart, these are all very important things to our community. But in the very short term, if there is continued disruption to our supply chain, we're not going to have the food that we need at disposal. These are things that we need to address immediately. They need to be moved down to the short-term goals, our food security, our health security, our teachers. And one way to do that is to immediately start discussing and collaborating with the farmers, the food producers in the entire region. And this is going to be a multi-municipality effort where we have to start taking down or at least relooking at the bylaws that are holding back the producers, the farmers, from producing food and bringing it to our table. We need to look at the bylaws that are restricting people from growing stuff in their own backyards and bringing those to market. So that's a huge part of it, and those should be forefront in the very short term. The housing security, same thing. There was talk earlier about having suites in houses. So if there are any bylaws that are being restrictive, even to entertain those, to remove certain things in the short term to allow us to kind of get ahead of the game while we are creating more and more development to house people long term. We need to be able to allow more cottages, more suites. We also need to look at if there is any people that are having second homes in Salmonar. So I don't know what the rules are right now, but anyone that has a second home that wants to come here for 2 weeks for a good view is not someone that's really contributing to the city. So we need to look at every single aspect of the housing crisis and address it, I think, quite immediately, and that includes the homeless. For the teachers and a lot of other things that we need to address, this is where the idea of the community and civic duty. My wife got an email saying that they're now allowing teachers to invite people, adults, seniors, whoever, into the classes to help kids read, to help kids with their homework, to take kids out and do certain things. I don't know if this was on pause because of COVID, but these are things that we have to do as a community. Regardless of who you vote for up here, it doesn't matter who you vote for. When we go out there at the end of this meeting and tomorrow and the next day and after the election, we have to take it upon ourselves to actually engage in the community. Go to the community garden. We were there on Saturday. There's a cleanup in the food forest downtown here on the 14th and the 15th, right before the election. If there's something that we can do, we have to do it together as a community because we are going to solve the problem. And no matter who is voting into council, we have to realize that the six people and the mayor, including myself, if that happens, don't have all the answers. I'm not a farmer. I'm not a policeman. I'm not a nurse. And we don't represent everything and everyone. So this idea of bringing the community together through the town hall forum and actually having open debate, as well as one of my principal ideas is to have the online civic platform where it is bringing technology into our town and utilizing that technology with a server and creating the platform where we can speak our minds and we can contribute to the ideas of 10 more seconds of how we're going to change the course of action. Food processing and secondary manufacturing too to bring good jobs. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, everyone. I just want to extend a huge thank you to all the mayoral candidates, the council candidate this evening, as well as a thank you to all of you who came and listened to them this evening. We would like to ask you to take a few extra minutes on October 15th to cast your vote in the municipal election. Advanced voting begins tomorrow and ends on October 11th at Salmonarm City Hall. General voting day is October 15th at four locations in Salmonarm: the Saskatoon Recreation Center, the Mall at Piccadilly, North Canoe Elementary School, and Glen Eden Hall. Thank you for being respectful of the time. We actually ended early tonight. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and have a great evening.